last week because I want to move on with studies. But it is it's important for us to experience the Comforter, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I showed last time that the Holy Spirit always comes in which to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is absolutely paramount. That is the reason he's being sent, in which to glorify the Lord Jesus and to lift him up, to point everything to him. That is his work and ministry. And as we do that and we desire that, so we will find the Holy Spirit is that comfort to us. Because when he's even comforting us, we can't help through that comfort but to give it back and to give God all the praise and all the glory that he's with us, leading us and guiding us and taking us through our trials. That's the idea of it. So he's come in which to lift and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I reveal how the Holy Spirit is always with us, guiding and leading us. I also revealed last time that he's the Spirit of holiness, so that everything he does is in holiness and it's separated. It's not of the worldlies and so on. I revealed also that he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of power and wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. He ministers to us the fear of God, the meaning of wisdom, and he also comforts us through God's grace and mercy. All of this, as I say, we looked at last week. And I also showed you last time that he's the Paraclete who's moved alongside to encourage. And I've also revealed that it is similar also to him being advocate, that we come, we confess, and that we keep covered under the precious blood of Jesus. So he's always there with us, leading us and guiding us all the time, and so on. And finally, we looked at last time, he wishes, in a sense, as the Comforter, to stand by us, to take over, to take our part. Is a standby in that sense. So that is a little what we looked at last time. Well, I want to take it on now further today. And we know that Jesus in his flesh, he felt all the emotions that we go through, all our trials. He went through sorry about that. I believe we're back online. Can everybody hear me again? It seems as though I got booted out of the room. Praise God. I'm speaking about the Comforter. I'm speaking about the Comforter tonight, and the reason that he's the Comforter. Can everybody still hear me? Hello? Yes, you can. Okay, it's just I'm getting a bit of trouble here. I'm going to continue. Praise God. We thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus over this connection. I'm getting a notice keep coming up telling me that there's a joined room has failed. I don't know what that is all about. Anyway, I'm going to carry on. Jesus came in flesh. He came not only to establish his kingdom. Right, we're back on. I don't know whether somebody's trying to get into this room or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to carry on. I've not come in as admin. I have, I think. Wait a minute. Let me take... Yes, I did come in as admin. I wouldn't have gone into the room otherwise. Right, I'll carry on. Now, Jesus, in his humanity, he felt tiredness, hunger, pain, sorrow. He knew what it was to cry. anger. He had a righteous anger. You remember when they were defiling the temple and he drove them out. He had the anger of the Lord. He felt rejection. All those things that we experience. And we have his experience ministered to us through the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit. So because he's now also a mediator who sits at the right hand of the Father, who's also interceding, mediating, he mediates through the Holy Spirit that comfort, so that when you go through your trials and your tests, he can identify with you. He can say to you, I too went through that. I too felt that grief. I too was rejected. I felt that pain that you're going through. And this is what he ministers to us as comforter. And we need to be open to this. We need to be open to him as a comforter in our times and our trials, because this is going to help us to overcome and endure to the end. Because sometimes, so often, we can almost come to the end of ourselves. I'm sure Jesus came, as it were, almost to the end of himself. He certainly did upon the cross. We see it clearly there. But he yielded over to the will of the Father. And so his experiences are ministered to us to comfort us. And those who are not experiencing this comfort will always seek the comfort of men. Those who are not really seeking comfort through the Holy Spirit will eventually run to the arm of the flesh, because we aren't experiencing the Spirit as we should be. And this again, if we're not experiencing the Holy Spirit as we should be, then man will run to other means, because it's within our nature, our makeup, to be comforted, to be encouraged. It's the way we are. It's the way we're made. And you see that in children. It is so important when bringing up children that you encourage them, that you bring the best out of them. And of course they do this, or try to do this, at school. And young children thrive off that. They feed off that. It sort of builds a confidence. And so likewise with us, the Holy Spirit has come to encourage us, to comfort us. And he's actually showing us that we don't need to run to the arm of the flesh, because we have it all in the baptism of the Spirit, the Comforter himself. And I want to look at that further on as I go on in this teaching tonight. But I'm convinced that a lot of the reasons why it is we miss it in faith, and why maybe faith isn't there as it should be, is because we're not actually drawing from the Comforter himself. Even when we stand upon the promises of God, and those promises are a revelation to us, we can't receive those promises unless the Holy Spirit ministers that. And yet those promises are there in also in which to comfort us in our trials and in our tests, to be an encouragement to us, the something in the body of Christ, in our brother and sister, to get behind ministry and encourage it where God is anointing it and so on, and gifts and whatever it would be. It is important that we have a right heart and attitude to our fellowship, because this is how the Holy Spirit ministers. I want us just to turn again. I know we looked at this last time, but there's more I want to bring out in this tonight. Again, if we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 26. Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 26, and he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So we begin to get an understanding that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he says he's going to testify of me. He's going to speak of me, reveal my heart. And you also will bear witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. So it is a witness to us. Are we still hearing, having sound? Can you hear? And I was preaching away. I got the impression I was all on my own, just simply talking to a screen. Since the gospel, did you get John 15 verse 26? Did you hear that? You did. Right, I'll take it from there again. All right. Okay. Now in John 15 verse 26 here, he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So the Holy Spirit here is to witness ultimately and testify of the Father. And he says, because of that witness, that comfort, in other words, you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, the idea of this witness is to be with Christ, to see him, to touch him, to experience him. And this idea of witness is to experience Christ, experience the Father's love, experiencing him in your walk, your everyday walk, hearing him, experiencing him in trials and in tests that you go through. So this is what he means here in verse 7. "And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." You can't witness about something or someone unless you are experiencing what you're witnessing about. And this is the tragedy today of so much in Christendom, that so many are at times are talking about God and everything, but there's no real witness of what they say. It's just theological. It's sort of just simply an educational exercise, but there's no real life in the communication and what is being said. And this is so important. And this is why I'm saying that the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, he moves alongside so that you are a witness of God's love, God's power, and as he moves in and through you, and his love. And so that the witness outsiders, they see Christ in you, that you're not just talking a load of hot air or words and so on. It is a witness. This is the power of it. And this is why the enemy tries to stop the Holy Spirit from moving in Christendom, because he knows that through the move of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit works within you to become those witnesses, that you are touched by the risen Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so that the world out there sees Christ in you, and that you're not just speaking a load of words, meaningless words, but you are being led by the Spirit, and the Spirit within you is touching other people as well. That is how the early church functioned. They were witnesses of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within them was touching lives. Christ in them was touching lives of other people. This has to be restored back to the church. It's very, very important, this. Let's look also in chapter 16, verses 5 through to 12, where it goes on in this, in John 16, verses 5 through to 12. And hear what it says here. "But now I go away to him who sent me, And none of you ask me where you are going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Who does the conviction? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He says, when he comes, he will do the saving. He will do the conviction. He will do it through his word. Not man doing it through his organization or building his own church or through denominationalism. No, it says quite clearly here, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Unless God convicts, there will be no soul saved. And that is only done and always done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth for his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you those things. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and deliver it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You cannot speak unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. I can't preach this message tonight unless the Holy Spirit has gone before and revealed it. And this is what we have to understand. He has come to convict. He has come to save. He has come to heal and deliver. He has come as Christ in his fullness. And we have to remember this. And if we don't allow the Holy Spirit in his fullness to, through man, then it's going to be religious. It's going to create nothing but bondage. And so as the church, the remnant, is being restored, being brought back in this time of restoration, coming back under the headship of Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we're being prepared for and coming back for, as we have read here in John 5 onwards, that the Holy Spirit is going to do it through vessels that are yielded over to him. You don't know what to do, what to say, unless the Holy Spirit gives the unction, the leading, and the guidance. And he will do it through us. I've already read to you, it says that he will convict the world of sin. He will draw people in to his church. He will speak to people. He will guide them and lead them. That is how the early church turned the world upside down, because the Holy Spirit was sovereign then at that time. The Holy Spirit is not sovereign yet over his church, but he's soon to take that sovereign place, and it won't be long. And this is why, as we yield over and as we decrease, that he increases in us, so then the power of the Spirit, the Comforter himself, will take over, and we will start to see people respond, because what they will see through us is real, is life, Christ in us, the hope of glory. They will see us being able to love our enemies when others couldn't. They will see how we treat one another. They will see the fruit of the Spirit. This is why by the fruit you will know them. It's not by what they say, what they do. It's the way you live. It's the way you treat people and how you come over. This is what the Lord is working through us, through the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. So the work of the Spirit in the believer and the church, and the Holy Spirit works on the believer that the world will believe. The reason that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is ultimately so that the world will believe in your conversion, in your life and walk with Christ. Now, some will reject and some will receive. We know that sometimes in our own families. We find even sometimes our own families turn their back on us because we're now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the whole point is that the Holy Spirit who's come to baptize us has come to work that witness through us. You don't have to work at witnessing. The Holy Spirit will work his witness through you as you yield over to the Spirit. And yet we've got churches today trying to witness, trying to evangelize, opening up seminars, teachings on how to evangelize, how to witness, how to do that. You won't find any of that in the early church. And the reason being is because the Holy Spirit was the one who witnessed. The Holy Spirit has come always to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift him up. Man can't do it in his own flesh. And that's why we see so much of the confusion, sadly, that we have today. Hallelujah. No, it's quite clear what he's going to do. And this is why he's baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, in his fullness. But the Holy Spirit, as I have shown many times, is the doorway into the deeper life. So that you can go as far and as deep as you want with the Lord through that baptism of the Spirit. It's impossible otherwise. We cannot be those witnesses, those comforts through the Comforter unless we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, the world won't know Jesus through the unfaithfulness of the church that we have so much today. The world won't see Jesus in denominationalism, divisions, squabblings. The world won't see today when churches are confused, compromising on the word of God. The world won't see Jesus, but will remain confused when they see the church just groping around aimlessly with no vision and so on. You see, the enemy has been very clever. He's done a lot of damage over the centuries. But we're now in the time of a restoration where God's now restoring back his true remnant, his believers, back again, not under the dominion of man or some leader, but under the Lord Jesus Christ. And your covering is not an elder, but is the blood of Jesus. And this is why we're a royal priesthood. And this is why tonight, brothers and sisters, as we're in this room, sharing the Lord's presence, hearing what he's saying, you are a royal priesthood. You offer up that spiritual worship and praise and sacrifice. You are now living tabernacles, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why the Bible says to present your body as a living sacrifice. You now tabernacle with the fullness of God. He now resides and lives in you. And that is why the word of God says that out of your innermost beings shall flow those rivers of living water. Those living waters that are to flow out are our witness, is God anointing what we say, what we do, so that the world is convinced, can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is how the early church functioned. And God is bringing this back in this last day, latter rain outpouring. We're facing tremendous, encouraging times, brothers and sisters. We're on the brink of God again glorifying his name. We're on the brink of seeing true people, souls, being converted, coming in, receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, because the Holy Spirit has done the work. Not man trying to convince him or control him or blindwash him, like all of these, so many of these techniques that we have today. There's so much of this hypnotism and control that goes on in Christendom. He doesn't have to do that. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. He's gentle. He's come to witness his name. He's come to convict the world of sin and unbelief. And he knows what he's doing far better than what man does. And yet man tries to get in, he tries to meddle, he tries to interfere. And sadly, that's why there's so many dear Christians that are damaged at the moment. They're despondent. I know I've said this before, I'm going to repeat this again. I know a lot in the assembly have heard this, but I think it just bears mentioning again a vision that God graciously gave me years back. And I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body, in the spirit. You just know when God gives you something, you can't explain it how you see it. But I was in the spirit, I saw these doves, these lovely white doves, many of them. I couldn't count how many there were. And I noticed in time, as I looked at these doves, that these doves were trying to fly. And every time they tried to flutter, they just sort of go up and come fluttering down. And then the Holy Spirit took me closer, and I looked at some of these doves, and I noticed that every dove had one broken wing. The other wing was fine, but one wing was broken. And the Lord interpreted that vision to me and said that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit now coming again and being head over his church, the Holy Spirit will heal the brokenhearted. He will mend those wings. That again, like the Holy Spirit, he will be free to move. I've never forgotten that. You just have these things that remain with you all the time, right through your ministry. And I've had the privilege of being able to see this happening, get released and delivered. And again, not moving with man or man's ministry or even my ministry, but being led by the Holy Spirit so that they too are witnesses and examples out in that world, you see. You see, the world won't know Jesus through the unfaithfulness, through the sin and rebellion and unbelief of believers. There's no way they're going to see that through us. But the Spirit must always bear witness to Jesus. And so whatever you're doing, I am doing, I believe, even Lord willing, tonight what I'm doing as I minister, this bears witness to the risen Lord Jesus, who sits now at the right hand of the Father. And that is why the Comforter is to be a comfort to us. And he's come in his fullness to comfort you and I in our trials and in our tests. And we all go through many, many things. We all of us battle in the faith. There are times when we just feel we don't have the faith. I've seen the word, I've confessed those promises, yet it just seems a million miles away. Well, Christ, he experienced that. He even battled unbelief, but he never succumbed to it. So he's able to encourage and minister to us. It's like when he comes and he comforts us through the Holy Spirit, it's like he's saying, I went through that. I know exactly what you're going through, and I'm with you going through it, and I'm going to bring you through. And he always does. There is nobody here tonight who has not gone through a trial where God eventually has brought you through. He's preserved you. He's kept you when the powers of darkness otherwise would have destroyed you. That is our testimony. That is our witness. And that speaks to the world. You may say to yourself, well, I don't feel as though I'm much of a witness, and I don't feel I'm doing much at all. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something, that the world out there and your family are looking at you more than you realize. You see, the world out there doesn't read its Bibles, but it's reading us. How do I know that? Because if the light is in you, and we believe the light of Christ is in us, then that light divides. And who is the God of this world at the moment? Satan. And like with Christ, when he ministered and he came on the scene, that light within him divided. And even the demons cried out and knew who he was. Well, it's happening with you. You might not always be having demons crying out of people, but you are dividing darkness by the light that is in you. That is your witness. That is the Holy Spirit confirming the new birth that is in you. And that's why some will receive you and some will reject you. Because wherever you go, you are dividing darkness and bringing in light. No, God may not be letting you see that. But I can assure you, brothers and sisters, if you love the Lord and you're walking with him, then that is what is happening. And that is going to increase as the church is being restored back and the gifts are being brought back into the church and the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher that brings us into our maturity and perfection. God is going to glorify his name again in his church. And the world is going to see it. Yes, we will be persecuted. And you know, brothers and sisters, where a lot of your persecution is going to come from? It's going to come from the religious people who will be stirred up with jealousy and rage. Just like they were in the times when Christ was there, it is exactly the same. As religion put Jesus to the cross, so they'll try and put you to the cross as well. But praise God, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. So the Spirit must always bear witness to Jesus, and the Spirit will always bear witness also to his word. That is why we don't do anything contrary to the word of God. And that's why we read the word of God and take it in and have the word preached just like we are tonight, because Jesus is never going to do anything contrary to his word. Everything that we read that's enlightened to us by the Holy Spirit, illumined to us, Christ is never going to do contrary to that what you're reading. Many times we can be challenged by what we read. Many times when we read it, we just say, Lord, I can't live that in my life. I just fall miles from that standard. Well, praise God. If that's what you see and you feel at times, then I would tell you you're on your way to glory. Because then you cry out, Lord, I can't do this, but Christ in me can. And that is the hope of the gospel. You see, God never saved us so that we do it ourselves. He saved us to show us that it's impossible in our flesh. That again is the blessing of the gospel. But you see, taking this a step further, remembering I'm calling this teaching, is the comforter a comfort? Taking this a step further, we're able to pray and comfort our brothers and sisters. You know, it's a very powerful prayer that you can pray when brothers and sisters are going through trials and tests, that you pray, Lord, be a comfort to them. Comfort them, Father, in this time that they're going through. And if I can be a source of help and comfort to them, then use me, make me available. That is a very powerful prayer and intercession that we can pray one for another, because we need desperately to encourage one another in the faith. You see, we pray the Spirit of comfort to lift one up. We pray in the Spirit to build ourselves up also in the Spirit. As it says, you know this one very well, and I'll just read it to you quickly in Jude 20. But here is a comfort and a building up. And it says here in Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's a building up. There's a comfort. The Holy Spirit is going to encourage you. He's going to build you up in the faith as you pray in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is vital for that encouragement of being built up in the faith. Because many times in the faith, we battle unbelief. In our faith walk, everything in the natural is against us. You no sooner get over one hurdle, over one mountain, and yet you face another. So here, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come to pray through us in the Spirit to build us up in our most holy faith. And yet, how many believers do this? How many believers take that one seriously? You'd be amazed if you start doing this. You really, really will. You will draw such comfort and strength from this praying in the Spirit. We also see that the fruit of the Spirit is also to be a comfort as well. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 onwards, it says here, as you know very well, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, and so on. That fruit of the Spirit is not only to be a witness, because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them, but it's also, again, to be a comfort in the house of God. I draw great comfort when brothers and sisters treat me in the love of Christ. You can't draw comfort when you treat a brother or sister in the wrong spirit, harsh, or you neglect them, or you're rude to them. You can't draw comfort from that. Quite the opposite. Yes, we're to die to it. Yes, we're to love them, pray for them. We're not to react back how the way they're reacting. But it's, if that is a source of comfort at that moment, what is being done to you is being said, it certainly is not. So we find that the fruit of the Spirit, which we are to grow and mature in, is also to be that source of comfort, ministering one to another. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit will use that. So, of course, you see, in your trials and in your tests, you will find that the fruit of the Spirit is there that you can draw off, which is a source of comfort. What do we see in Romans 15? Romans chapter 15. Let's read this briefly. Romans 15, verse 13. Verse 13 of Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here it is again. The Holy Spirit will fill you with joy, peace, believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. And that word power there is dunamis, which is the same word for dynamite, which is the same word that raised Christ from the dead. The very power that raised him up is the very power that works within you. And it works within you that you may have that hope, that joy, peace, helping you to believe by the Holy Spirit. Now, again, if that's not a source of comfort and encouragement, well, then I don't know what is. So, brothers and sisters, let us draw from this. No, you can't do it. And don't even attempt to. But he within you can and will, as we yield ourselves over to him. Let's also look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So how do we love? How do we experience that love, the love of God? It says it's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So God's love is generously poured out, given in abundance. That's what it's showing, because the power of love is great. God is love, period. And so because he's love, he's going to equip us that that love will not be defiled, that the church will be a witness and reflect his love, and he's going to work that love so that the world out there is convinced and can see the love of God amongst the brethren. And there's the promise there of how he does it. It's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. That is why I say out of these hearts flow rivers of living water, and it will never run dry. It is like a vessel that just doesn't run dry. The more you use it, the more is there. You can never outdo the Holy Spirit. That river will never run dry if you are experiencing the Spirit and the Spirit's being poured out into your life. How the enemy tries to keep us down and stop us, because he knows the power that God has put within you and I. Hallelujah. Our comfort is also the cross. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Actually, the cross that we take up daily, believe it or not, is a comfort. It's a comfort because it is dealing with the flesh life, your will against God's will. And so as he daily crucifies us, as we take it up, so he ministers that comfort. As we decrease, that he increases. You see, we're learning, aren't we, over the years, that the flesh profits nothing. And it takes a time. It takes a time to really begin to surrender and fully experience the cross that we take up. But we take it up and want to take it up because we're aware that the flesh life profits nothing. It's caused nothing but trouble in my life. And still does. So we come to a place where we willingly take it up, because God's working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. So he even helps us there. But for brothers and sisters, and I bring this to a close now, one thing we need to remember is that you don't get comfort in unbelief. It is completely the opposite. You don't get comfort with fear. Tormented with fear. You don't get comfort when there's stress and anxiety working. These are completely contrary, opposite to how the Holy Spirit works. You don't get comfort in anger and frustration, anything but. You don't get comfort in excessive drink and alcohol, gambling. All those things that we see that are in excess today, material things, money, clothes, cars, houses, careers, friends even, added unto you. But if you put your dependence in these things, your affection, your heart, it will never bring comfort. And this could be another reason why some of us are not experiencing the comforter as we should, because we're still putting our trust in some of these things. We still allow these things to dominate and control and take over. And that will rob you of the comfort. Therefore, he can't then be that witness. Your witness is ineffective. You know, when you have sinned or God is exposing things in your life, you find that you're just not so effective in witness. It's like you don't really want to talk about the Lord or whatever it is because you feel a hypocrite. You know? No, it's as he works in us by the Spirit within us will be that witness. And the world will see and know and come under conviction. May we ever move rapidly toward that experience in these last days. That is my prayer, that's my desire. I want the Holy Spirit to be sovereign, to be head over us, because that is the only way a dying world will see and a remnant out of that will respond. I believe out of this is going to come the greater works, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ, his faithfulness doing it in and through us. But he's working on us. And everything he's doing in us and through us is leading all toward this. And that is our experience. It's my experience. That is why I know that we're on the right track. And through the baptism of the Spirit, he's now teaching us, leading us, and guiding us. You are to have that personal touch and experience with him, because that's how you grow and mature as sons. You will never mature into sonship otherwise, unless you enter into that personal relationship with him. May that ever continue to increase and grow by his grace and mercy. Father, we thank you tonight for speaking to us, encouraging us, showing us the way. Lord, we realize that there is nothing we can do unless the Holy Spirit leads and guides. If we try to do it, we'll simply do it in the flesh, and it's religious. And it's no witness, and it never gives glory to your name. Father, please help us to enter into this experience more and more, that we decrease, that you increase. And Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to remain and stay with what has been given to us. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit indeed is a comforter, and we receive him as our comforter. We expect him to be our comforter, and we will never take second best until our experiences are of a comfort from him. Please help us, Father, to maintain this, never to take second best. For only you, Lord, can give the very best, and the very best is experiencing you. What could be better than that? There's nothing better than that. In experiencing Almighty God in our lives. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep.